Coming to you live from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios. The Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report. Here's your host, Randy Bergen, with Coach Rick Cleveland and Coach Mark Lasseter.
And away we go. Good Saturday morning to you, and welcome to the Thompson Tractors Prep Sports Report as we're coming to you live from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios located right here in South Alabama. So glad to have you on board with us this morning. I am Randy Bergen along with Coach Rick Cleveland. Coach, how you doing, pal?
I'm well, Randy. And, man, I'm fighting this NC2A bracket.
Well,
I think I've got more losses than I do wins.
I think I do too.
There were a lot of folks very disappointed in yesterday's performance by a couple of the teams. So
the SEC is not helping us.
No, it's certainly not. There's a voice of probably the best looking guy in the room here.
Well, thank you,
Coach Randy.
Mark Lasseter, there you go.
Who has the dirtiest coffee mug in the room?
That's ridiculous, Mark.
That's pretty bad, right there, Mark.
It's okay. It's a trusted friend.
It's a trusted friend.
So yes. Is that seasoned like you season?
I have drank coffee out of this cup for about 4 years, about every single day. So the coffee just stains it. It's Tervix, and it just stains it.
I wash it once a month. It's like a cast iron skillet.
Exactly.
Yes. So you've seasoned it.
Yes. It's just right.
Well, Mark, let me just say this. Just think what it's doing to that cup. You're drinking that much coffee, and you see what it's doing to that cup, what it's doing to your teeth.
Man.
Teeth are fine.
Okay.
Teeth are doing just great.
Good gracious. All right, let's get into something else here. Baseball is cranked up, of course, and we're going to talk a little baseball coming up in our next segment with the Baker baseball coach, Tyler Minto.
Yeah, Baker's red hot, and you're talking about a school that's got lots and lots of tradition in baseball.
Yes.
Well, Tyler Minto is double dipping. He's the guy that was right in the middle of playing as a player and winning state championships there at Baker. And now he's the head coach. And so he knows all about that tradition. I think it was a great hire whenever they hired him a couple of years ago. And, boy, we're excited for to talk to Tyler. As a matter of fact, I need to send him a text message right now to remind him.
That Baker, you know, over there, if you think about, you know, I remember when I first moved to this area, it was in West Mobile. The baseball programs that were really, really every year, man, you had to get ready to play them was MGM and Baker.
Right.
Man, you had to play those guys, and they are still rolling along in that category. And some great coaches back through those days, great players through those days, and we're really glad to have Coach coming on with us this morning to talk about the Baker Hornets and what they've got going. They've got a good thing going on over there.
Let me just say, too, you being at Bayside, Bayside's always had a doggone sporty little baseball team. Doug Lefford, whenever he started coaching it, and there they are today.
Now Doug did a fantastic job while he was there. He was Doug has always been one of those guys who he's just a tremendous coach, period. Yeah. He's a tremendous coach, football and baseball. Did a great job there. These days we have a young man from Missouri, from the Show Me State, who is a diehard Alabama fan, Matt Limbaugh, who is our head baseball coach, and he is doing a great job. I mean, we got several years, that team has been one to be reckoned with every time they play, and then they get into the playoffs, and everybody knows, you know, you're going to have to play ball if you're going to beat them. So,
you know,
that's a great – it's a really good program. Appreciate those guys' work.
And we're going to round out this first hour. Rick, you got the leadership segment.
Yeah, and there's a – and to be honest with you, we've spent a lot of time this week on the road, and leadership segment's going to kind of spring us into that because there's a lot of things that you see when you're on the road, and especially when you're in hospitals – really make you understand what great leadership is when you see it and are around it. So,
you know, Rick, it's amazing you're talking about that, because one thing that that's been pressed upon me this week from going out to the different golf. We went to Jackson and played golf on Tuesday up in Jackson, Alabama. Had the best time with those folks. Wonderful people. And then yesterday we played St. Louis in golf, Chaminade Preparatory School. But what I saw at both places, and I see with our own people, are families.
Right.
And that's been pressed upon me this week more and more and more, is how important family is and how important it is to be around that kind of thing, and understand that as we as coaches have a responsibility to understand the dynamics of those families and the leadership, that we're supposed to understand is how to help navigate all those tough times that kids are not playing well in whatever sport it is, to help those families through, because they get upset, you know, about things. But I've just been impressed with the love that I've seen with families this week. And I know that, you know, you and I talked last night about your trip to Sylacauga, and I know that's weighing upon your heart, and that's a big deal. Families are a big deal. And you made a statement to me last night that was really important to me, was, you don't know how lucky you are, Mark. Tell me, yeah. Don't know how lucky you are.
Yeah.
And my mom and daddy are still with me, and daddy's 87, mom's 82, and both of them got their faculties together, and still cracking that whip from Birmingham, Alabama, all the way to Fairhope when they need to make sure their eldest son behaves himself. But, yeah, it's a great thing.
You know, I think one of the things that makes me so keenly aware of that is having coached in inner city.
Mm-hmm.
When you coach in inner city and you have young men and women and you – learn what they go home to. Man, I'm talking about kids that would go home, have a key to the door. I call them lock key kids.
Mm-hmm.
They have a key to the door, and when they go in, there's nobody there. And when they leave in the morning, there's nobody there.
Right.
And that'll change you. That'll give you the perspective to appreciate those people that have enough around them to be what they want to be. Some of these kids inner city, man, it's tough.
You know, Coach, tough. Do you remember when we were first coaching, every school we went to had a breakfast program?
Yep, that's right.
You know,
yep.
Kids would come to school, get off the bus, go to the cafeteria, and eat their breakfast. And that, when I first started coaching, I didn't understand that. I never had, you know, I got up, Mom and Daddy had something cooked for breakfast every morning.
Yeah.
It was always something to eat before you walked out the door. So many kids in our world today wake up, go to bed hungry, wake up hungry.
Yeah, you're right.
The only time they eat. I remember there was an old coach at Hewitt Trussell Junior High School who told me one time, he says, all he did was drive a bus. He says, my job is I drive them in for breakfast in the morning, I drive them home for supper at night.
Yeah.
That's my job. Driving that bus. And that pierced my heart, man, that so many kids are in that situation today. So I think it's a great topic, Coach, you know, about what we're here to do.
I know it changed my life. It did. It changed my life to see what some don't and what some go home to.
Right.
And when you take them home, when you put them in the back of your truck, and they're just clamoring to jump on back of that truck just to get a ride home.
Yeah.
Because they don't know how they're going to get home if you don't take them.
Right.
So, yeah, inner city coaching and teaching is a yeoman's task. And it's a God-given blessing.
It is.
To be able to learn in that situation. It'll touch your heart, and it'll grow your faith if you'll let it.
Sure.
It will. It sure will.
True that. Listen, we're going to talk some track, too. We're going to do that in the second hour. We're going to do that with a guy that anybody knows track, this guy does, Pat Galley.
Yeah. You know, Pat's retiring this year after 50 years. 50 years at UMS Wright. UMS Wright. And this guy has listen, what people don't know about Pat Galley is the difference that he makes in – every child's life that he comes in contact with, whether it's teaching them in PE or it's on the track. And I don't think I'd want to be a part of this show if we didn't honor Pat Galley. I mean, he and Jim Tade at St. Paul's, what an amazing tandem right along Old Shell Road. Those two men have made a difference in so many lives.
They sure have.
And have, man, can you imagine walking into a trophy room or an awards room where all of Jim Tate's stuff and Pat Galley's stuff is? Man,
have to build a new school.
You can start a new ring. You can start a state championship ring
sale.
That's
right.
All right, let's take a first time out. When we come back, we talk baseball. We do that with Baker head baseball coach Tyler Minto right here on the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report.
Welcome back to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report, brought to you by Alpha Insurance. This segment presented by Green & Phillips Attorneys at Law. Now, back to the show.
Get that headset on for you. They singing to you.
And we welcome you back to the Thompson Tractors Prep Sports Report. Randy Bergen, Coach Rick Cleveland, Coach Mark Laster coming to you live from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios. Right here we are in the man cave at Eastern Shore Hyundai. And I'll tell you what, it's an awesome, awesome place. Come out and see these folks. They'll certainly take care of you. But, Coach, it is time to talk a little baseball, and we're going to do that with Bakerhead baseball coach Tyler Minto. Coach, thank you for taking time to be with us this morning.
Thank you for having me.
You know what, Tyler, one of the things that I was thinking about last night driving home was what a legacy there is right there where you are, and you're a major part of it, having played for an amazing, amazing high school coach and creating such a proud tradition of Baker Hornet baseball as a player and now as the head coach. I want you, and first of all, I want to welcome you to PSR, but most importantly, I want to thank you for what you've done in bringing all of that back in to focus for all of us that love high school sports. And I want you to really concentrate this morning on talking about that tradition that you were a huge part of and the part that is going on with that community as far as Baker baseball, because it's something for every community to see.
Yes, sir. So growing up out in West Mobile, I was kind of just a part of it, going through park ball at Westside. And, you know, you always have the older kids that you want to follow and mimic. And, you know, I was fortunate enough to have people, the Joey Dones and Brandon Sages of the world, that, you know, they were the dominant pitchers ahead of me, and I got to watch what they did. They were great role models. You know, it's kind of hard to argue what their careers did, going all the way through pro ball, playing at South Alabama. You know, that was the tradition that I really grabbed a hold of, was the fact that you had people in front of you doing it the right way, that were successful, that you know, they were the role models that you wanted to be. And when it came your turn, you wanted to provide the same for the guys behind you, and it just seemed like it was an ongoing thing. You know, we had a very tight-knit group. We were always together. We were always competitive. And I think those types of cultures become, you know, contagious for the groups after. And that's really where I feel, you know, Coach Glover, Coach Andrews did such a great job in providing that for just, you know, the community in general. And it just kind of filtered through.
You know, and we're talking to Tyler Minto, the head baseball coach at Baker. And I was reading some back stuff that we had on PSR years ago. And you talk about Coach Andrews and those old school coaches. And, you know, yes, Tyler, what I think was the difference in the old school coaches and the modern day coaches was this. They were demanding, but they weren't demeaning. They were not demeaning. They build you up, but they'll tear you down when you need to be torn down. But they were demanding, but they were never demeaning. And that's where I think that's where those guys like yourself and one of the major reasons you guys are successful.
Thank you. And you're right. I think every coach has their own way of going about things, but guys that, you know, came up in the past, we all had that coach that's going to be there and hold you accountable. And those are the lessons that I try and pass through to the players that come through Baker. You know, we're going to work. We're going to practice hard. It is about winning. It's about competition, but that's where growth is. You know, this baseball is one of the greatest lessons to life that you can learn, and it's learned through adversity and handling struggles because, I mean, let's face it, baseball, you're never going to be perfect. Matter of fact, less than half the time you're going to be successful. So it kind of teaches us to stick it out and keep moving forward. I think coaches have their own methods. You know, even for myself, you know, I'm very fortunate for the coaching staff I have. Great guys, Coach Larry, Coach Frosty, Coach Williams, Coach Edmond, Coach Bobinger, Coach Boatman have had in the past. They all have their own way of doing it, and I feel that we try and mold to the players to get the most out of them, and it's not just my way or the highway. We always try and find that middle ground to connect with them better. And that's kind of the art of coaching nowadays, is finding that connection between the players, but also being able to get the most out of them. I mean, we've all been there as kids. There's going to be days you don't want to run or lift weights or do the bunk coverages, the monotony of practice. But, you know, that's why we're happy with this year's team, and we're very proud of these young men because, man, they buy into the work, and they dominate the routine, and that's what makes us, I guess, prouder than anything.
You know, Coach, I was listening to you talk, and things that are going through my head, knowing a little bit about West Mobile baseball. I go back to the days of early 2000s, mid 2000s. It was Baker. It seemed like Baker and MGM always had some huge battles. Can you tell us a little bit about that rivalry?
It's competitiveness. Now, the difference in the generation back then, nothing was about mechanics or metrics. It was about winning. You know, the backyard baseballs, and didn't matter if you're playing kickball or checkers, you're trying to win. And we actually grew up with a lot of those kids. It wasn't like a rivalry where we're going to, you know, negative things. It was more of a,
sure,
we're going to get after each other to see who's going to come out on top. I mean, once again, there's guys to name right and left that were just key contributors to that, the Travis Williamsons and Kevin Foxes and Jared Berries of the world that, I mean, you knew when you play MGM, you got to step up. They have a really good baseball team. You know, Coach Druckenmiller back in the day, he ran a great program. Yeah. You always have respect for people like that.
Well, there's no doubt about that, because you're talking about two teams that still today are dominant. I mean, and with a guy that we're familiar with, and I know Tyler thinks the world of him too. You talk about a Barry Hightower who was similar people here, Tyler Minto and Barry Hightower, because Barry was dominant, and we had him on a couple of weeks ago, but he was dominant as a pitcher. Tyler Minto was dominant in everything that he did, and now they're leading those two teams. And Tyler, we're going to take a break here in a minute, but when we come back, we're going to talk about your team. I want to talk about those players that are carrying on that tradition. But before we go there, I want to ask you one question about what is the major difference from the time that you played the game and today's game?
There's a lot of things that are different to it. I think the game has advanced overall more. I think that the focal points within baseball have shifted some. I mean, back in the day, you're more likely to see the bunt than you will today. It's a good question.
Kind of like you're talking, coaches, the long ball seems to be the big deal now.
Yeah.
Well, that too.
Back in the day, people would still hit for it, but the perception of how to get from A to B, I guess, was different. You know, and today people are training more specifically for outcomes than we did back in the past.
Right.
Well, and when we come back, we'll talk a little bit about that. We want to really focus on your Baker team this year. really want to get into a little bit of small ball talk because it was so prevalent during your time with the guys in South Alabama that just trickled down into all of our high school stuff, Randy.
All right, we'll take another time out. When we come back, we continue our conversation with Coach Tyler Minto, head baseball coach for the Hornets of Baker. Don't go anywhere. More of the Thompson Tractors Prep Sports Report.
Welcome back to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report. The Pops Market communication lines are open at 251-343-0106. Here's your host, Randy Bergen, with Coach Rick Cleveland and Coach Mark Lasseter.
Turning face the stars and stripes, it's fighting back them butterflies, it's calling in the air already. Yes, sir, we want the ball. And it's knocking heads and talking trash, it's slinging mud and dirt and grass, it's I got your number, I got your back. When your back's against the wall, you mess with one man. Got a song.
All right.
The boys are fall.
Welcome back to PSR. I hope we're on the air. Randy had to step out. We're talking to Tyler Minto, the head baseball coach at the Baker Hornets. Tyler, thanks for holding on to us. And I want to talk a little bit about your baseball team. What a tremendous group of young men that you've got there. Give us kind of a rundown of how your season's gone so far, because I know trying to keep up with all the baseball teams in our area, it's a tough gig to follow. But you guys, I know last I saw you were 13-3, and I know you got a big game today as well.
Yes, sir. We're actually 14-3 going into today. We have a game against St. Patrick out of Biloxi. Couldn't be prouder of this group of young men that I have on varsity. They have shown up, and we didn't start great. We started 1-2. We weren't really focused and locked in enough. We made some just basic mistakes starting out. The coach's dream, kids just stopped. They locked in. They started doing everything. I mean, it's perfect. And I can't stress enough, it's very few or very rare that I've had a team to actually do this. We talk about changing the momentum. When things get going bad, being able to just stop and say, okay, no more. And this team has done that. And since then, I mean, we ended up losing the game to Auburn last weekend, but still proud of the kids. They fought. They never give in. It's a battle for all seven innings that we're playing. And, you know, it's really started from senior leadership. I mean, right now we're starting about seven seniors. You know, from those, we've got three Bishop State signees. Ethan Santos, he's starting shortstop, one of our starting pitchers. Bryant Durbin, starting center fielder, one of our starting pitchers as well. Camden Payne, starting third baseman, relief pitcher for us. And then, of course, everybody knows Connor Gatwood. He's right there in the middle of our order, the Auburn signee. But we still have Peyton Buck behind the plate, Bryson Suttis that's out in the outfield, one of our starting arms. Spencer Stewart's played a lot of the outfield for us. He's a junior. Damon Fountain is second base. He's a senior for us. Micah Cornelius done some big innings last year, this year, and plays a little bit of everywhere all over the field. And kind of one of the focal points that I've talked to a lot for people, we have a freshman starting at first base for us. He's also done some innings, Tate Graham.
You know, when you think about a freshman playing baseball in a 7A program, you're talking about a young man that has had to be nurtured family-wise, first of all. But second of all, there's some youth coaches that have really mentored him. And then when you get a freshman that's ready to play in 7A baseball, it's got to be a thrill to you because you know that there's been people that's made a difference. And as a coach, you can continue to mentor and mold him into something special. That's really cool to me that you have a freshman. And I'm going to tell you, first base is a place you better have somebody that can get down in the dirt and get nasty with them sometimes, because you don't ever always know that those middle infielders and those corner infielders are going to make the right throws.
That's right. Well, multi-sport athlete. You know, I know we want to promote that. We've always tried to make sure that players are getting out there competing, not just in baseball, but in other facets. And Tate Graham was the backup quarterback last year to Josh Flowers as a freshman. You know, going to be looking to get snaps this year on varsity as a sophomore. But I think that has a lot to do with the mental buildup for some of these young men. You play football, you're used to going out there every Friday and getting popped in the mouth, and you know how to respond to it. And like I mentioned, that's one of the biggest parts to our team this year and why we're 14-3 is they handle adversity very well. They're very mature about their actions. They're diligent in their preparation, and couldn't be prouder of them.
You know, Tyler, you make a great point. And it's something that Mark, we hammer this on this show all the time, and I want you to reiterate it because you're talking about multi-sport athletes. And let me say this about that. We hear more from different coaches all around the Southeast that baseball seems to be a one-sport athlete sport.
Right.
I want you to reiterate what you just said about that young first baseman because I think it's important that not only coaches but parents hear what you had to say about that.
Absolutely. You learn to compete in different facets. It's a different sport. It's different movements. It's different adversity. And learning to handle kind of the multitude of things, you become a more well-rounded athlete. And as you were saying about the single sportness of it, I mean, it's part of what we hate in today's world is everything's got to be, you know, 24/7, 365. And I'm not the biggest fan of that, but I do understand it to some circumstances because if players are trying to reach the Alabamas and Auburns of the world and that's what they require, then it's kind of hard to allow this kid to not go down that path. But every opportunity we get, we've done it. We've had kids, you know, I'm not sure if you remember Javen Williams. He's up at Kennesaw State right now playing football. He was All-State in football, basketball, and baseball. I mean, this kid never had an off-season, went from sport to sport to sport, but he was a competitor. You put him between the lines, whatever lines they were, and he was a dog. He's going to get out there and scrap. You know, those are the type of kids that we like. And however, I mean, we have kids that they want to specify on single sports. We have nothing but support for that. You know, Bryce Kane played baseball. His older brother came through Baker baseball, and, you know, he early enrolled at Auburn this year. I couldn't be prouder of that kid. That's an opportunity that many would dream to have.
Well, and you know, I think, Tyler, one of the things that I think is changing too, I really do. I think travel ball mentality is changing a little bit. You would know better than I would, but I believe we're going to pitch counts and people are limiting what kids can throw. I know Dr. Andrews says it all the time. He has more 12-year-old children that are now getting Tommy John arm surgery than he's ever seen.
And it's sad.
That is sad. That is really sad. So you tell us about today. I know you got a big one with the Mississippi team today, and I know you mentioned it earlier, but tell us first pitch and all of that.
All right, so JV kicks off at 11 a.m. Varsity will follow between 1 and 1:30. You know, we're excited. St. Patrick is a good team. We'll call them local, being Biloxi, but, you know, close enough. First time we've ever played them at Baker High School. I was fortunate enough to pick this game up. So we're excited to see. I mean, for our guys, we're ready to play.
Well, and you know, I love the Saturday games. But the one thing that I wanted to ask you about, too, was have we lost the concept of small ball as the way you knew it growing up and as the way Eddie Stanky and Steve Kittrell and all of those guys at South played small ball? Have we lost that?
Not at all. Personally, at Baker, we're going to bunt. It's something that we're never going to let go. There's too many advantages to it. You don't see it as much overall. I know there are people that are not a fan of it, which that's fine. I think it all depends on your team makeup. If you have a bunch of kids that are power hitters and maybe you're not the most fleet of foot, then yes, it doesn't make much sense to go out there and bunt. But I find the advantages in it. You know, the coaching staff at Baker, we're going to do it. We're going to keep harping on the idea of it. Now, Are there kids that I'm going to tell, hey, every time you get to the plate, drop one down? No, we're looking line drive, right. Gap, right. Gap, but we're never going to lose the concept of it.
You know, and I can remember.
Funny you say that about Coach Kittrell. I actually played for, I played up at Alabama Southern for Scott Seeley, who played at South. Right. And that was always the idea. That was kind of my wake-up call in college. I get to junior college first day, and I'm watching our 3 and 4 hole big 6'4", 220-pound kids up there working on bunting. And that was kind of the epiphany for me to say, well, better buy in.
You know, that's kind of funny because I and Scott Seeley, of course, I can remember one day he turned around to me behind the plate and he said, Coach Rick, your zone's a little off today. I still remember that. I still remember that. That's kind of funny. And I said, well, let's adjust it. Tell you what, if it's a strike, give me a 1. If it's a ball, give me a 2. So, love me some Scott City. You know, I can remember many nights at Daphne High School watching Clay and Mel Spivey and those guys going through bunting drills with Lloyd Skoda. And
that's right.
So you know how that game goes. So
absolutely.
It's, when you had great coaches like that and Larry Andrews, and now we got Tyler Minto continuing to do it. And Tyler, you know, it's always a joy to talk to you, and it's always a joy that I know how you build your players up. And thank you for taking time this morning. And man, take care of that family. There's a lot of ball, but you take care of that family first.
Yes, sir. Will do.
Take care. Thanks a bunch.
Thanks, Coach.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Coach. Coach Tyler Minto right there, head baseball coach for the Hornets of Baker.
Man, I'm going to tell you that.
Good club, man. They got a good team.
Hey, they do. They do have a good club. And, you know, I get a text from this guy, and I want to tell you what he said. He said, small ball has seen a resurgence in the last few years, but it's dictated by the roster's talent and ability. And that's just what Tyler said. I mean, it all depends on speed, Randy. And you played the game. You know sometimes when you got up to bat, I got to lay the ball down. And if I don't lay it down, I'm going to sit down.
Let's put it like this. My coach had me doing that more than swinging away.
I did it all the time.
I believe that.
He's like, man, you can't hit it over the fence, so we're going to let you lay it down.
I did hit a home run. I'll tell you all about that in a little bit.
We can't wait to hear.
I know.
All right, don't go anywhere. More of the Thompson Tractors Prep Sports Report.
Welcome back to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report. PSR is live every Saturday from 8 until 10 a.m. Now, back to the show.
Welcome back to the Thompson Tractors Prep Sports Report. Randy Bergen, Coach Rick Cleveland, Coach Mark Laster. And, Coach, it is time for your leadership segment.
You know, Mark and Randy, one of the things that I've loved about working with the guys at 68 Ventures is getting to know just on a very small basis Brad Israel and Nathan. And we got something this week from a guy named Steve Keating. Is a guy that they follow a lot, and they send a lot of Steve stuff to us. But there's an article that came out this week, and I wanted to share that with everyone. I think I shared it with you, Mark. And everyone is fighting their own battle, so we need to exercise a little bit of grace and empathy. Often when we lose someone close to us, we hear her say, I hope they know how much I love them. Well, you know, these are Keating's words. He said, I've met people who said they didn't matter and they claimed to be okay with that. I think they were so afraid that they didn't matter that they just couldn't admit how important it was to them that they actually did matter. Everyone wants to matter. Everybody needs to matter. We all want to be somebody. We all want to be needed. We want to make a difference, and we want others to acknowledge that we make a difference. How does this play into leadership? authentic leaders invest time daily to make certain that people they lead know they matter. This hits home with coaches. I want to read that again for all of us coaches. Authentic leaders invest time daily to make certain that the people they lead know they matter. And people who are fortunate enough to be led by an authentic leader never have to wonder if they are making a difference. You see, authentic leaders communicate with specificity and frequency how each of their people make a difference. But here's the thing. Helping other people know that they matter in the world is not only the responsibility of those in leadership positions. You see, we can all do that for each other. And we should all be doing that for each other 7 days a week. Think for a moment of the person most important in your life, the singly most important person. When was the last time you told them that? Straight up. No beating around the bush. No worrying about looking foolish. No concerns about having your motives questioned. You just flat out told them how much they matter to you. How huge a difference they make in your life. Told them pure and simple. It's happened way too many times in my life when we've lost somebody, folks. And Mark, you've shared with me people that we've lost. We didn't share with them how much they meant to us.
Right.
Tell them now. Don't wait 5 minutes. Don't wait 5 hours. Don't wait 5 days. Don't wait 5 months. Don't wait 5 years. Just tell them right now. Come back and read the rest of this later if you want to, but stop for now so you can tell that person right this minute. Don't let another second go by. Tell them now. I hope you've had to come back to this post and are not just continuing to read. If you told someone how much they mean to you, then you've done a good thing. But don't stop there. Pay attention to those you interact with. Watch for how they matter and tell them as well. Let them know how they're making a difference in your life or the lives of others. They need to hear it, and you have the opportunity to be perhaps the first person to tell them this in a long time. Hearing that you matter to someone never gets old. Knowing people see and appreciate your value is priceless. Be more present so you can notice the value in others. Then tell them what you've noticed. This isn't hard work. If you pay attention, you'll see value in everyone and you'll make their day, maybe their year, when you tell them what you've noticed. Everybody needs to be somebody today, this very day, this Saturday, someone will rise up to become somebody. Will you be the one to help them? If you are, it will be one of the best days of your life. Mark, you mentioned a coach just a minute ago named Doug Leffert. Everybody knows that knows high school sports knows what a heck of a baseball coach he is. And I'm just going to go out and say it, how he was mistreated at Bayside Academy. I'm going to say that because he was. And that's my belief. That's my personal belief. One of the finest baseball coaches in this area. But you know what? How many times has somebody gone up to him and thanked him for what he did as a football coach? I mean, daily and Friday nights. I made the mistake one time patting that fellow on the fanny. I'll never forget this. I thought he was going to knock me out. But what a quality football coach he was. But not just with the X's and O's, but with the Jimmies and the Joes. He did it at St. Paul's. And then he did it at Bayside for years and years and years.
He did. Tremendous coach.
And I don't know that everybody was able to share with him what I want to share with him this morning, because he was fantastic, X's and O's, but I think even better with Jimmy's and Joe's.
He's one of those guys who never wants to be in the limelight.
Yeah.
Doesn't want to hear this conversation we're having right now, you know, because he doesn't like that kind of thing. He's just a very humble, I want to do my thing. I'm going to tell you what he takes as much pride in as he does anything else.
I know what you're going to say before you said it's right. That baseball field that he was the one who brought that to Bayside, and that is the most beautiful baseball field you'll see around because he takes that kind of pride in it. I didn't mean to interrupt you, but that means so much to those of us who know him.
That baseball, he does such a fabulous job on it. The football field, he gets them ready. Soccer games, gets them all ready. Track and field, gets them all ready. He does everything. And you go out to those complexes and you go, wow, this is a beautiful place.
Got a professional group. Yeah.
And he does a great, great job.
Amen.
And hits a golf ball about 350 yards.
Yeah, he hits it pretty well.
Okay, let's take a timeout. When we come back, we will talk a little track, and we do that with one of the very best, Coach Pat Galley. He's up next right here on the Thompson Tractors Press Sports Report.
Coming to you live, the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report, presented by Alpha. Here's your host, Randy Bergen, with Coach Rick Cleveland and Coach Mark Lasseter.
And welcome into the second hour of the Thompson Tractors Prep Sports Report. Randy Bergen, Coach Rick Cleveland, Coach Mark Lasseter. We've got a special guest coming up. But before we go to Coach Pat Galley, Coach, we got some great sponsors of the show.
Well, there's no doubt about that, Randy. And one of the big ones that has been with us for a long, long time is Premier Collision. Chris Garris and Tyler and those guys out there. Fantastic service, high-quality work, looks fresh off the showroom. Boy, we highly recommend them. They always take great care of me and my people, and excellent customer service and quality of the work was great. Well, the thing I can tell you about Premier Collision, first of all, they're located at 1177 Sledge Drive in Mobile. They're not open on Saturday. Monday through Friday, you can get them from 8 a.m. till dark. And I can promise you, if you'll give them a call at 251-478-4500, they will treat you just like family. And, boy, I'm going to tell you, all three of us have done business with them, and they are absolutely phenomenal. You usually get Tyler on the phone, and then you go to Premier Collision, and Chris will be right there to shake your hand and welcome you and do everything he can to take care of all of your auto body needs. That's Chris Garris and Tyler out at Premier Collision, 1177 Sledge Drive, right here in Mobile, Alabama.
All right, let's go to our Pops Midtown Communication Line and welcome in Coach Pat Galley. Coach, how are you doing, and thanks for taking time to be with us.
Oh, doing fine, and no problem. Like being here.
Coach, I know you just that's Pat. I agree with that.
Right.
Just cool, calm, and reflective. Coach, welcome to PSR on a rainy Saturday morning, but I know you just got through with the Line Newell event. Tell us a little bit about that, and tell us how that worked out.
Well, it's in honor of Line Newell, one of our athletes that had gone on to college and then graduated from college. He got killed in a freak accident, we were putting on the meet. Coach Bruschi, Paul Bruschi, was an assistant at our place. He is now the head coach at University of South Alabama, and done a great job out there. But he was, this was 22 years ago, I guess. This was the 22nd year for the meet. And Paul has always been real interested in the throws events. And if you look at South Alabama right now, they're top in their league in pretty much every throwing event, girls and boys. Anyway, so he wanted to put on a throws meet. Well, the throws by themselves, they stand well if, people are interested in them. But, so anyway, we put it on the first time, and they had like 8 schools there. And we had some really good people. And but with 8 schools, we had a very small crowd. And, we were kind of looking for something to bring back. So we added a racing track part afterwards, a fast times meet. And then the next year we had 25 teams because everybody wanted to run the track, track stuff. Plus we added about 1,500 people in the stands. So, that's how it came about. But it was really, and it's a charity event. We've given way over $200,000 in 20 years to the local charities, mostly Wilma Hall and to the I can't remember.
remember the name of the other one.
That's okay. That's okay.
Yeah, and then it's also in the last 3 years they've started a like scholarship fund mainly for people at our place in line, Newellston. But the meat itself is it's real quick. We finished the meat the other day, we finished the throws part in about an hour and a half. Then we finished the running part in about an hour and a half. So 3 hours, it's about like watching a baseball game.
Right. Well, I know you had a crowd out there from everything I've heard, but it's the winner. I think was St. Paul's in one group and Foley in the girls group. If I'm not mistaken, St. Paul's won the boys and Foley won the girls. Is that right?
Yep, I think so. Uh-huh.
Now, how many athletes are usually involved in that?
Ooh. It's the throws itself. They can have two people in an event, and we had 24 schools. It's about 40, 50 kids in each one, three events. About 400. Yeah.
That's a lot of folks.
Hey, yeah, Pat, tell us a little bit, when you say the throws, tell folks what the throws are. What are y'all doing there? What kind of events are they?
What? You mean everybody doesn't understand?
Pat, you know me now. Everybody else does. I don't.
All right, so we have the shot put, and the girls throw, it's like an 8-pound shot put, cannonball is what it looks like. And then the boys throw a 12-pound, and in college they throw a 16. But and then we throw a discus, which looks like a souped-up frisbee. It's it's flat and it weighs about 3 pounds for the boys, and it's right at 2 pounds for the girls, and they look like a flat plate if you haven't ever seen one, and then we. We've added the javelin about, 15, 18 years ago in the state of Alabama. And, of course, the javelin is just a spear, basically. So all of these, the three different implements, they were, they started in Greece and everything with the Olympics.
Right.
And they're all weapons. So you have to be careful with them. But it's a good competition. It's kind of fun to watch them try and throw 12 pounds, 50 feet, 55 feet. And if you think that's easy, go out there and get a brick and try and throw it 50 feet.
Yes. It's unbelievable what those kids can do.
Oh, yeah.
We're talking to Pat Galley, the head track coach, track and field, cross country, and he's announced, the school, I think, has announced that after 50 years, Pat Galley is retiring. And Pat, after we go to a break, I want to talk a little bit about that. But I do want to talk a little bit about you have a high jumper who's now jumping at Samford, who's just making all kind of great waves. I mean, talk just a little bit about Arthur Chitty and how he has just progressed as a high jumper.
Well, Arthur, he's an outstanding athlete, of course, if you're jumping. Just, to give you an idea, he's jumping right at 7 feet his freshman year in college. He won he won the conference up there in the indoor season with the personal best right at 7 feet. They do theirs in metrics, so it's about a quarter of an inch off. And he's been a solid high jumper since his freshman year in high school. And he's worked very, very hard. He started off, as a freshman, he's jumping like 6 foot, 6 foot two. So, you can see the progression. He's at 7 feet. And, it doesn't sound like much, but, 10 inches in high jump is a, that's a great increase. And now, at 7 feet, you're competing with, pretty much the echelon in college. He's done a great job there. He can move over into the long jump and stuff. And he played basketball, outstanding basketball player. And he's a competitor now. He's going to get in there and fight you for everything that he can. And he's going to work. He worked hard at the high jump. He traveled during the summer and went to big meets all over the country. And done a great job.
You know, Pat, are there any – is there a professional – what we got, about a minute? In about the last 45 seconds, can kids, once they graduate from college, can they compete on a pro level in these events like the high jump?
Yes. I tell you the truth, the United States kind of misses out on it. They can go to Europe and do a circuit over there and make a very good living. And track and field in Europe is a lot bigger sport. They call it athletics over there, and right. than it is in the United States. I mean, it's big here. I mean, number-wise, it's huge until the college. And then after college, you're right, it dies off. But in Europe, you can go over there, and there's 60,000 people at a track meet watching it. So, wow. You can. But, I mean, you know, yeah, it'd be pretty good. We've had a lot of people from Mobile go on the circuit in Europe. I say a lot.
All right, we're taking a quick timeout. When we come back, we continue our conversation with Coach Pat Galley right here on the Thompson Tractors Prep Sports Report.
Welcome back to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report. Call or text the Prep Sports Report at 251-343-0106 on the Pops Market communication lines. Now, back to the show.
All right, welcome back to Prep Sports Report, presented by our good friends at Alpha, coming to you live from Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios, located right here in the man cave. And Pat loves that. We're talking to Pat Galley. And Pat, one of the things that I think has stood out to me as a guy that has watched you for the last 20 years is – the relationship that you have with former and present students and student athletes, because it's something that you hold near and dear to your heart, but I think it's even more near and dear to the hearts of those that you've had the opportunity to coach and to mentor at UMS Wright. And I want you to kind of want to spend this segment kind of talking about some of the great memories that you've got over 50 years there, and 15 minutes is too short of a time to do it, but just there's got to be some times that really stand out to you in your time there at UMS Wright.
Well, I mean, and you're right, it's been a long time, so there's lots of different things going on, and remembering, there you go, 50 years is a little tough. I can remember now when I first came in, Coach Don Kelly had the team, and we're still chasing one or two of the records that he had on his team. So that's how good they were when they got there. Well, I was a baseball coach and came in, and I ran track when I was a freshman in high school, and that was my experience. So when I got there, I can remember the first time we went to a meet over at Murphy, and of course, anybody that's old, well, the Murphy track is still short. It's not a quarter of a meter, quarter of a mile track. So anyway, we're running on the track over there, and our kid, we had a kid named Mike Delaney, and he runs 203, 800 meters. Well, I didn't know that anybody could run 2 minutes around half mile when I got over there in baseball. I thought you had to have a car to do that. So it's been a learning curve greatly. And, you know, all of these guys over the years that you talk about, just remembering the things. And these guys worked hard, and girls, you know, that you just don't come out. I was thinking about it a little while ago that, you know, you've got to dedicate yourself just like any other sport. You know, you got a natural talent. We talked about high jumping a few minutes ago. He came out at 6'2". Well, he could have stayed at 6'2" for 3 years, and but right. not. He's 7 foot, but that's a lot of work going into that, you know, 10 inches. And the same thing with, you know, you got to have a sprinter, all right? So he's a natural guy. And you just to go from, you know, being fast there to turn into like a long jumper. You just don't don't go into, you know, you're a 11 flat 100 meter guy, and now you're a 23 foot long jumper. The 23 foot long jump takes a lot of work to get to that stuff. And all these guys over the years and girls, they put in a lot of time, like a basketball player and everything. You just don't go out and run. You don't run a 204 half mile. We just had Charles Perry. You know Charles. He's been on he's on a national level right now. Well, in that meet we ran the other day, fast times on at UMS on Wednesday night, he went out and he ran a 153 half mile.
Gosh.
All right, so he's running a 153, and I was amazed at the guy, you know, 20 years ago who ran 2 minutes and 3 seconds. So he's, you know, he's that much difference in that length of time. But Charles just didn't go out there and move. Yeah, I can do this. No, he's been running since the eighth grade and getting better and better and better. And he's going to University of Virginia and running track. So, I saw a bunch of them the other day, Robert Hope and Robert Hope Jr. They came by the track the other day, and both of those guys were, you know, outstanding distance runners from UMS, and both of them, you know, have kept up with the running. Robert went to Harvard and ran at Harvard. Robert Jr., he just graduated a few years ago, and he's doing quite well. And, you know, we have Parker. She's high jumping up at Sanford with Chitty, and she won a couple of indoor meets and been doing real well. And we had the Lazarchik, Kathleen Lazarchik. She went to Wake Forest, and she was all ACC runner up there. And so yeah, there's all kinds of stories. And then I can tell you some other stories of guys who. Can I tell you this story? It's not
yes,
real
sir.
Bad.
So,
Scott Hegeman was by the other day, and he was an outstanding burger for us. And he held our school record for a while. And so he was asking me about Glenn Lubell. And Glenn was our shot and discus thrower for us, and a really good one. He's a 54-foot shot putter and a 155-foot discus thrower, which we don't have any of those right now. But anyway, we went up to run up at Alabama at a meet up there at the Alabama Relays. And so we were eating at like a Western Sizzler's place right next door to where we were staying, hotel. So his table, they get up and they leave and they go back to the room. And we're sitting there. I can't even remember who my assistant coach was with me then. But anyway, we're sitting at the table by the window facing where the motel is. And so... this was the year when Halloween came out, the horror show.
Right.
So it's about twilight. We're back at the thing. And, you know, there's like four different tables sitting along the windows. And we're sitting there, and all of a sudden, this big bulk of a guy with a mask on, and he's got a butcher knife in his hand, and he's banging on the window. But he's not the window at our table. He's at the wrong table. He's hanging on the table next to us and scares these people out on the floor. And then he's got a pillowcase over his head with the eyes cut out, just like in the movie. And then he runs off. And I'm like, I know who that was. I never said anything to him because, you know, I had to kick him off the team and everything. It's better sometimes what you don't know. But it wasn't too much doubt. I mean, he was a big kid. And it was funny, but... funny for us, since we weren't the ones laying on the floor. But they're high schoolers, so we were an all boys school then too. So there was a little bit more shenanigans going on. Had to stop him from dropping in the indoor meet. He was dropping a shot foot off the fourth floor to see how far he was sinking the ground on the bottom floor. When you know that if that hits somebody, you just get, okay. That was still a fun on that one, too. It's good that I get to say these things on the radio now so everybody knows, you know, these guys were nuts, too, just like everybody else. They're all doing great.
That's great. That's great. And you know, we talk to Sheriff Tillman all the time. And You and he, I think 1965 were the first ones to sign scholarships.
Tandem.
That's right.
Yeah. Yep. We were first four or five of us, Doc Richardson, me, Jack. I'd love to be able to say that, you know, I made my living batting off him, but no. He could throw the ball down as fast as his hands look too. Lefty. Yeah, he could come at you from all over the place. And, he's an outstanding baseball player. He would even made that, a great career also. But yes, quickest hands always.
And he was a boxer too, wasn't he?
Yeah, he went to the welterweight championship fight. Yeah,
man,
he was an outstanding boxer. Yeah,
you guys were something. Yeah, I know. You 60 guys were some kind of athletes. Pat, thank you so much. What a great career you've had. And I look forward to spending some of our retirement together, buddy. I mean that.
Yeah. By the way, thank you for the
chili. Yeah, you're
welcome. Coach Pat Tilly, Gavin right there. Yeah. Oh, my goodness. What a story. All right, we'll take another time out and more of the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report right after this.
Welcome back to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report, brought to you by Alpha Insurance. Now, back to your host, Randy Bergen.
Let that roll.
You don't spend. I swear she must believe it's all heaven sent. Hey, boy, better bring the check around.
Better bring that check around.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Come on, Mark, bring that check around.
Yeah, Mark's got to bring it. You know, we were talking about our sponsors a little earlier, and we've been blessed with some great sponsors. And I was in our control room at UMS the other day, because that's my office now. I have in the, what do you call it? The room, it's got all the controls, and we used to call it the, what did we call that? We called
the electrical?
It is an electrical room. Okay. But we had another name for it. And I noticed up on the wall a whole bunch of control panels with Walter's Control on it. And Walter's Control is a leading supplier and installer of direct digital control systems in the central Gulf Coast. The focus of Walter's Control is directed not only to the contractor community, but also to the owners and multidiscipline design build teams. And their control offerings allow them, Walter's Control, to be a master integrator of different systems such as HVAC, security access control, and lighting systems. These folks at Walter's Control are all over the state of Alabama. I talked to a guy in Dothan where you were this week, and in that school system down there, and they have Walter's Control. Their systems are all over their school systems, and these are just – you're talking about Skipper Walters and that family. They've always been such huge supporters of not only of – academics and athletics all over Mobile County, but it's all over the state of Alabama. And when you know the kind of people that when you're working with Skipper Walters and his family, I can tell you right now, you talk about supporters of high school athletics, they are as important as anybody that I know as a business that supports high school athletics. And we certainly appreciate everything that they do for us. And but I just thought I have never seen such controls. I would hate to know that I had to be the person who puts all of that stuff in, because our school couldn't function without those all of those things that those guys are putting in. And I'm telling you, it's just a huge part of us here in Baldwin County and Mobile County, and we certainly appreciate everything that Skipper and that whole group do. You talking about a Notre Dame fan? Man, he loves some Notre Dame. Oh, man, they're big Notre Dame supporters. And they and McGill Tulane and all other schools in Mobile area certainly appreciate everything that they do. And you can reach them at 251-661-4416. You certainly can email them, and they'll give you as much information as you need about Walter's Control. And, Randy, I know that Boom's Kitchen is fired up.
Boom's Thai Kitchen at the Fort is will be up and running in about an hour and a half. And I got to tell you, had some of that crunchy chicken last night.
Good Lord,
man. Yeah, it was stupid good. But, yeah, the pad thai is about the best you're going to find around. The Boom Rolls are fantastic. Try the Boom Boom Shrimp as a as an appetizer. I like the curry. The curry's my favorite.
No, that's, you know, that's this right here.
Yeah, that and listen, here's what you do. Get your little chicken, get your little shrimp, throw it in there, get it medium from a heat, spicy standpoint, and then get her to throw a pineapple in there. Shut up.
Your doctor's going to be on you more than you.
Yeah, he sure is.
I'll tell you that right now.
Yeah, that's what he said. I had to go see him on Monday, and he said, oh, you've been eating a lot of Booms. Thai Kitchen at you. I said, yes, I have. But, yeah, no, go check her out. They're at the Fort right across from the Bass Pro Shop in Spanish Fort. So, hey, we got a great show coming up for you beginning at 10 o'clock at Southern Fairway Sports Radio. You're going to love this. Of course, Bobby Hall is going to be here with us. Doug Holton will be here. We've got David Mutual, the general manager at Glen Lakes Golf Club, a good friend of ours, as you well know, Rick. And he's going to be on. They've got a tournament coming up, a tournament that if you have a junior, you will want this junior to participate in this tournament. He'll tell you about that. Also, we'll have David May on. He is the EVP for Unknown Golf. It is, if you're a golfer, if you're a golf course, if you're a tournament director, this is the app you have to have, okay? You have to have it. He's going to tell you all about it. Of course, we're going to talk a little March Madness. We're also going to get you fired up, get you ready for the 88th edition of the first major golf tournament of the 2024 season. As Jim Nance would say, a tradition unlike any other. It is the Masters. We're going to talk a little about that. Plus, we'll close the show out with you got dropped by and see him the other day, did you not? Paul Lartigue, Crab Claw over at Lartigue's. They got a new location right there in Mobile. It's Lartigue's on the hole, on the hill, specialty food market. And he's going to give you a fishing tip, and he's got some info about fishing that you probably never heard before.
Well, he's got a lot of info. Let me tell you this. He's got a lot of info. And, he's a special guy.
There's no doubt. You know
him probably as a special guy.
You probably know him as Crab Claw and his partner Buzz Bait. So,
they're getting ready to go on a fishing trip with you or something. They're talking about
it. We got something lined up.
Well, they may catch fish. I still ain't confused.
I get a little worried whenever I go fishing with Paul, though, because he kind of looks at me like, let's see, what size hook we can hook you up and throw you over, maybe use you as a bait. So,
and be Warsaw group.
He's not kidding, man.
But, you won't want to miss it.
Drop him down in the
bottom. Funny stuff.
See if that big grouper laying down
there. Oh, my goodness. Hey, you know somebody too, and you gotta love our show. We're doing a little show promos here real quick, but Jolene Roxbury.
Man, 4 o'clock this afternoon, you need to have your radio tuned in to FM Talk 106.5 because she'll slap you right out of your seat. I'm just telling you, with laughter. She is something special. You can catch her at 4 o'clock this afternoon on FM Talk 106.5. Then you can catch the replay at 7 o'clock in the morning on FM Talk 106.5. And let me tell you, believe me, you'll be ready to go to church because you'll already have had a blessing, but you're going to get at 7 o'clock in the morning, you're going to get a big blessing from Jolene. It's hilarious, and it's funny, and some of the cast of characters she's got on there, boy, I'm telling you, I'd be scared to be lost out in the woods and one of them find me because I think we'd get lost even deeper in the woods with some of those people. I'm just telling you, it is some funny, funny people on there, and she will brighten your day with her show. And that cast of characters is something to behold, I can promise you that. You know, guys, we got a head coach here in the area. It's going to be the head coach of the Alabama-Mississippi game. Jeff Kelly has been named the head coach of the Alabama team in the Alabama-Mississippi game. It's going to be played in December. And that's going to be something special. And, of course, Jeff is the head coach over at Saraland, and uh, he and he and those guys have had quite a year this year. They didn't win a state championship, but I can tell you this, they were one of the best high school football teams in the state. And, you know, they certainly got a great program going. But one of the things I think that is really a highlight of this team, this Alabama team, is the coaching staff that they've got. Fife High School's Paul Benefield is going to be on that staff. And, boy, you're talking about a really good football coach. He's going to coach the defensive line for the Alabama team. David Faulkner, who's a regular on our show, brought to you by a great group of people that love McGill Tulane High School and certainly appreciate those folks. He'll be the offensive coordinator. Kirk Johnson, who's Montgomery Catholic's head coach, will be the defensive coordinator. Leroy's head coach, Jason Massey, who's had a tour of duty, will return, and he's going to be on that staff. And as a linebacker coach, the new Hoover coach, Drew Gilmer, will coach defensive backs. Hillcrest Tuscaloosa head coach, Jamie Mitchell, will be the offensive line coach. And then Eufaula head coach, Gerald Jernigan, a wide receiver coach. Now, Gerald Jernigan, pretty good player, played at Troy, then played for the New York Giants.
Yes, yeah, he was a good
pretty
player.
Doggone good player. And Matt Dearman's going to be the Alabama All-Star coach, so scout coach. So that's a great, great group of folks that are going to be on that that staff. And I can tell you right now, Jeff Kelly will have a blast.
He will.
With those coaches, because all he's got to do is kind of tell them first and 10, second and 7, what are you going to do? That'll be his job to kind of manage it. But that's an outstanding staff.
He's going to have fun listening to Paul Benefield's stories.
Man, I'm telling you
right now. That son of a gun's got some stories.
Man,
now.
Alive. He could write a book.
He could. He could. He's one of my favorite people.
Well, and that's just some good, good folk. And you know, you got a history with David Faulkner. You can imagine offensively what David's going to come up with those athletes.
Absolutely.
So it's going to be something special. And certainly congratulations to Jeff. And he was offensive coordinator this past year when the Alabama team won. So he's been elevated to the head coach of the Alabama team.
You know, it was really kind of fun. I was telling you earlier, we were and I was in Jackson on Tuesday for a golf match, and Jeff Kelly's name came up, the principal from, Ken Harbuck came down, and we were standing around talking about, he was talking about Shane Sullivan. You know, Shane's a Jackson boy, came from that area, and they all had stories about Shane, they had stories about Jeff, and it was a lot of fun sharing with those guys.
Who was Shane Sullivan's head football coach?
No, I don't know that.
John Blackman. Did you know that?
Bless his heart, and he turned out okay.
He did turn out good.
They had some stories about John Blackman, too. Imagine that.
It's funny that
– Something about poker night. I don't want to get into all that.
It's funny you mentioned – talking about Jeff Kelly, I was in Dothan.
Yeah.
I was having lunch with my cousin, and he was the head rules official or the head official.
White hat.
For the playoffs, I guess the championship game, 2 years ago when Sierra Leone won. Yeah, so – Jeff Kelly's name came up there.
There
he was
go.
Absolutely fantastic.
Good.
So good stuff. All right, we'll take a timeout when we come back. Mark will wrap up the show with a Camp Gray segment. You won't want to miss it right here on the Thompson Tractors Prep Sports Report.
This segment of the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report brought to you by Camp Grace. Now back to Coach Rick Cleveland.
Camp Grace is located in West Mobile as the summer home of Camp Rapahope, Camp Mash, Camp Smile, and Camp Sugar Falls, as well as the home of Outback Mobile and is shared by many other community organizations throughout the Mobile area. Camp Grace is a place where God's love is bestowed freely upon others, the true definition of God's grace.
This morning, I told you a little while ago, we're going to talk about family this morning. Just something that's been laid on my heart. This week has been at a couple of golf matches and been to a couple of events at school, and just watching these kids do different things and see their families there supporting them, being there to cheer them on, to help them out. It reminds me that all of our lives are so different because all of our family dynamics are different, and doesn't mean one's right or wrong or or the correct way to do something or the wrong way to do something. It simply means that they're all different. God says, the Bible tells us, or the Bible tells us in Ephesians 3:14 and 15, God has named every family in heaven and on earth, and he has given us good instructions for loving the people he has assigned to us. When we follow his ways as laid out in the Bible verses about family, we'll find that our families can be a great source of blessing through which we experience love, provision, and community. May God bless you and yours as you seek to honor him by loving your family. Boy, that hit me like a ton of bricks about honoring my family. And as I watched these yesterday, I was watching these parents from our school and from this school from St. Louis, from Chaminade. I was watching their parents interact with their coaches, and everything was in a supportive manner, you know, trying to find a way to help their son play golf better or help their son do this better. And we as coaches, we see the individual child and their family, but then we see a whole bunch of them, a whole bunch of kids on your tennis team, Rick, yeah, on your basketball team in the wintertime. We've seen them all through our lives in our classrooms as we teach. There's an individual in that classroom who has a family. We see all these families, and our role, as you were talking about leadership a while ago, was to figure out the best way to help that individual child and still be able to understand his family dynamic, whatever that may be. Every kid is going to be different. Every kid is going to come into your classroom with a different set of things that they're good at and things that they're bad at. Yep. They're going to come with a different set of values, beliefs, ideas. Some of them are going to come to school into your classroom hungry. Some kids are going to come to your classroom and never want for anything.
Yeah,
that's just the way it is, and that's okay. That's the way the world is. But everybody who's on the periphery, looking from the outside in, has to understand that I understand that Rick, as a parent, loves his children.
Yeah,
loves his children, and is going to do everything in his power to support them and to help them. My job is to try to make sure that everything that I do simply is fair and consistent and works. Sometimes, though, I have to find a different way to teach one child over another way to teach another child.
Right.
Have to find a way to discipline one child over a way to discipline another child, and however that may be. And all that means is every kid is different. Every family is different. How we as coaches see it first, to me, that's where I've learned, I guess in my latter years, I've learned more and more and more, especially as my children are grown and watching them begin their lives. You know, what should I have done differently? What could I have done better as a daddy, you know, to make them be more prosperous in school, in work, in relationships, all those things. All those things are a part of it. And now, as I look back on it, I go, man, before I do this, let me think about this young man. Let me think about when I talk to his parents or her parents about whatever, good, bad, indifferent, make sure I understand the dynamics, because there's dynamics at play. And I want to make sure those parents understand that me, as their child's coach or teacher, am also a parent, and I understand. I may not believe actually everything that you believe. I may not do everything the way you do, but I'm going to do it to the best of my ability.
Right.
And that is the, to me, the gate. And here's a word for you guys, the great conundrum that we face, you know, in our world today is making all of that work, because it's very difficult to make it all work. But I just believe God told us that families, he knows them. He put them there. He put us as coaches and teachers to understand that family dynamic and to help be the correct leader we can be in all of our different dealings with kids.
Boy, Conundrum.
It's almost as good a word as parabola.
Where'd you get that?
Great days, Mark.
One of my students taught me that years ago when I was teaching history. He says, Coach, I was drinking at the water fountain, and I pushed the button, and a parabola of water came out. I said, what? Parabola? Well, I didn't know what it was. I felt like an idiot. It's just that arc. Oh. If I got that correct, it's a mathematical term.
So it's not a plethora.
Plethora means a lot.
That could be parabolic.
I don't know about parabolic.
Parabolic is the top of the flight.
Okay, like a ball.
I don't know if that was the apex.
Apex, parabolic.
They're all the same.
Very close to the same.
So would it be a parabolic predator or an apex predator?
Well, see.
I mean, I don't know.
In tennis, you teach kids to hit the ball at the apex of the bounce.
Right.
So that's the top of the bounce. You want them to hit it at the very top. And in golf, you're hitting a arcing shot, which would be parabolic.
Parabolic. Right.
You know, sometimes I start talking about things like this. I don't know if I'm showing my intelligence or ignorance. I get through and I go, was that correct? I'm not real sure.
Good boy.
God, it's good to be with you guys on Saturday morning.
You got to check out Jolene Roxbury at 4 o'clock to get more of this. I can promise you that. Randy, thank you for a great job today, Mark. Always inspiring and we love that series. Thank you, the listeners, for being with us. Remember this. No matter what you do, no matter where you go, He is always with you. God bless you. See you here same place, same time next week.